When I landed, there were, my luggage was already waiting.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the small airport.
I know.
Santiago de Compostela, she's my
girl. This isn't Heathrow.
Yeah, this is not Heathrow. It's like a tiny little modern airport. Everything just works.
And like, everyone had taken their bags. And also, like, really being aware of the consequences of questioning everything. And I think that's something...
Damn, say that again.
The consequence of questioning everything.
So you questioned... You were in a state of questioning everything that you did.
Everything.
To a fault.
Yeah.
And what was the fault of that?
It's... You don't have anything...
Forward momentum.
You don't stand on anything.
You don't stand on anything.
Every step that you take, you're like, oh, was this the right one? Because I went from like... let's explore the night, like what's wrong. And then he was almost like, I'm ready now, like stop faffing.
Come on,
let's go,
saddle on, let's move.
And I was like,
let's go.
Because right. So I'm so used to either getting a no or trying to compromise, or like then when it's a yes, my friend picks me up on this every time. She's like, Kat, there's a green light, don't miss the green light. And I'm like, oh, but are they sure about the green light? And like, and then it just gets like a whole thing. So Serenia was like, this is my green light.
Welcome to Horse First with Lockie Phillips, a podcast about paying closer attention to the horse, to the work that we do with horses, and paying attention to what's actually happening in front of us. Not what looks good, not what we've been told looks good, because sometimes we slow down and sometimes we speed up, but we don't pretend. I'm Lockie Phillips. Let's begin. Today we are joined by Kat Roy Stanley. Kat is a horse trainer, high school teacher, an equestrian relationship coach, and the host of my upcoming UK clinics in summer 2026. After spending 2 weeks living and learning here on my farm in Spain, Kat and I sat down to talk about what changed, what became clearer, and what happens when good horsemanship, good business, and a lot of laughter collide. Kat, welcome to the pod.
Hello, Kat.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
I mean, that's a bit redundant to say that because we've been talking to each other all day. But we're here to talk about what you just did the last 2 weeks. What did you do the last 2 weeks?
I was an intern. Yay. And it was amazing. I've been interning here at the farm. And what didn't I do in the last 2 weeks?
I know,
he thinks that's the question.
It's been jam-packed.
It has.
It's been a busy couple of weeks. So you've been an intern. For those of the listeners who don't know who you are or what you do, let us know who you are and where you've come from.
So my name is Kat. I've come from the UK, from Wales. And I am an equestrian relationship coach.
You are a
equestrian relationship coach.
An equestrian relationship coach.
Yep.
Got it.
And I'm also a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Of pretty much everything, secondary school.
You teach secondary school.
Yes, which is a wild ride. And actually one, I didn't expect that horses and teaching secondary school kids were quite similar, but it's
both a lot of crowd control.
Yeah.
It's both a lot of a nervous system regulation and a lot of bravery and courage required.
Yeah. And a lot of being faced every day with things that you have to look at, I guess, which has been really amazing. So I'm those things and they work together beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I'm also an absolute horse human fanatic, obsessed, passionate person who just loves learning more about life.
Yeah,
that's me really.
How do we know each other?
That is a really good question.
How did that happen?
So I stumbled across you because I've years ago, I think it was through a friend/client. And I was also kind of looking for professionals and people who just got me and who I really kind of resonated with what you were saying. And so I think it was very gradual. And then I started listening to the podcast.
This podcast. Yeah, careful what you just listen to, right?
Yeah.
Next minute,
you're here.
Right.
I know. What can I say? And then I... yeah, I started watching your Patreon at the time. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, and it really started to shift my relationship with my mare. So I was like ears pricked, and then I saw that you were doing clinics. So I reached out, didn't I, and I said I'd love to chat about hosting you in the UK, because I don't think you've ever been to the UK.
No.
And I just, it was like a wave, you know, something in your body that you're just like, oh my gosh, there's like, I've got to do this, this is so important. And it was like a non-negotiable in my body of like reaching out to you and chatting to you and trying to make that happen. So then I reached out and we had a lovely little chat, and we started to think about clinic in the UK. And then I was like, I just need to come here, be a part of it, get to know you, have conversations with you. And I saw that you did retreats, I think I replied to a little post, and then there was an internship, and I was like, yes, that's for me. So then I reached out, and that was it. Yeah, I think. Have I missed anything?
No, I think you got it right. Yeah, it was clinic hosting first, then we launched the clinic, and then very quickly after that, you applied for a retreat. And I said,
yeah,
there's a retreat option, which is like a 4 or 5 day long weekend, twice a day with the horses, intensive. And then there's a 2 week internship, which is more cost effective over time, costs a little bit more overall, but you spend 2 weeks here, and you went for that option. We settled on dates, and you've been here 2 weeks. Tomorrow you go home.
I know. I'm still in denial of that.
Yeah. So obviously I want to have you sit here and talk about it, because I think a lot of people don't know that I offer in-person things here in Spain. That's one. And two, you're very, very well placed to talk about the experience, because I feel like this internship has gone very, very well and exactly as I have intended them to go. And frankly, I'd like people to apply. So you're here to help me basically get butts on seats.
Oh, yeah.
Get people here, because I want to really open the doors and really use this farm as intended. But more important than that, I want to let people know that we're coming to the clinic, that I'm coming to the UK, and encourage people to show up to see the work in the UK, and let people know that the people I want to host with are not just people that I show up and then skip town and that's it. I don't like working that way. That on this side of the fence in horsemanship, we kind of do these much more comprehensive, deeper relationships, not only with our horses, but with each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's happened. So there's that bit. And I also want to give you space on this platform to let people know that you exist and what you do, because I think you're in an interesting and unique position to help a lot of people in the UK and abroad.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to have you here.
That's awesome.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure. You're going to be great. So, all right. So before you got here.
Yeah.
Describe what your horsemanship was like. Good. And because, you know, you don't come to an internship if you're not seeking answers to something. So describe the parts you were like confident about and felt good on, and the parts where you're like, I want to lean into that a little bit more. I want to look at what I'm missing there. I want to try and pick something up here, there. Mm. What did your horsemanship look like 2 weeks ago?
I think that's a really good question. And I think for me, I mean, it's not just 2 weeks ago. I'm not obviously going to go into the whole thing, but I think I'm that kind of person where I love to understand it and like live it and be it. I can't be any other way. Like I'm very much like that as a person, and I'm always just trying to understand how things work, why they work, and living it every day. So I'm really interested in not just taking things for face value, and also the humanness behind what we see, because we're all humans trying our best in a human world, and then we're placed with horses. And we are now doing our best as humans to try and understand horses. So for me, horsemanship, it's always felt like, I mean, I found I had a very challenging first pony, and I was so blessed to be stable next to my mentor. And I found the kind of traditional horsemanship in a way, if that makes sense. And gradually I started going, this bit feels good, this bit doesn't feel good. I was just questioning everything all the time. And then that almost took away from the good bits too, because the moments that you're like, oh, this looks good, but it doesn't feel good for some reason. And I don't know why, because everyone's telling me it should feel good because it looks calm good. or quite obedient. Yeah. So I kind of got into this journey from a very young age of like, right, what are the answers? So I've lived with professionals, trained with professionals to really understand the human behind everything.
So you've done something like this before with other trainers.
Yeah.
You've gone and lived and worked alongside.
100%. And I've so many great friends in the industry and I've taken so much from those experiences. And I've also decided to leave a lot from those experiences. So I almost got to a point where in my horsemanship, it felt like when I discovered your stuff, and kind of it felt like even if I was doing things quote unquote nicely and quote unquote softly, I was almost in a system that didn't work for me. And I felt like I had outgrown it and it didn't fit my horse, but equally I didn't have another way to go. So anyway, cut a long story short, I was like, I almost need to noodle this down. Felt like I was in a mush. My mare, I got a beautiful mare who relationship with humans took away from her cup rather than filled it. And I started multiple bonding and there were so many things I loved and aligned and I was fascinated by and so many questions that was left basically. So 2 weeks ago before I came here, I had lots of things that I'd let go of. So for example, I haven't used a stick in the longest time. Escalating pressure, really trying to outgrow that, outgrowing kind of shortcuts and ways of making the end product look good. So I was way more committed to my horse having a choice, a voice, doing things unconventionally. And yet I felt like there was a lot of things I was throwing the baby out with the bathwater as well. Does that make sense? So things that actually did have a place, but maybe I wasn't quite understanding them in a way that felt good or that aligned with this new way of doing things. So yeah, I was kind of in a mushy place, not really knowing what kind of shape I was, not really knowing what could stick around, what I needed to leave, what I needed to focus on. And it was all very overwhelming. And I think for a long time, I didn't really want to play with my horses because every time I picked up a rope, I was faced with all these questions, which is great. But also it was just becoming like, where is the shape? I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think this is the problem on the table.
Yeah.
For not just my clients, but for the broader community that's attempting to put the horse first.
Yes.
This is the number one issue on the table. It's a mixture of identity crisis mixed with technical confusion, mixed with the messiness of the editing process of horsemanship, because horsemanship's getting a big old edit.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. And a lot of people get to that mushy place, as you call it, and get stuck there. Really,
really stuck.
Well and truly stuck there.
And not only that, I was finding in my work that I was not empowering my clients to figure it out either. So I was very much supporting them with their self-reflection and developing themselves, understanding themselves, understanding their horse. That was all there and really strong. And then it was like growing that into a practice, into moving forwards in a way that made sense to them and their horses. And I almost had too many questions to be able to lead them and support them. And I knew that was getting in the way. So, and I knew I have so much to give.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, right, I need to open this for myself and re-dive in. Yeah. So that's why I came. And just hang out and be immersed in it, really. So
cool.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, sort of 2 weeks ago, leading up to 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Many areas of confusion. There were a few gaps, a few struggles, and a lot of strength as well. And so what were your first impressions? I'm not looking for you to gas me up now.
I mean, you know I will.
We laughed about it. We laughed about it. Like, let's record and you're going to gas me up. We laughed about it. But I just want you to try and give just a informational, factual impression upon arrival. Good, bad, factual. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm casting my mind back 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So immediately, I was really shocked because...
You were shocked?
Yeah.
So you get the... I book an airport transfer for you.
Gorgeous.
Which is kind of posh, but anyway.
Oh, it's lovely. It was so easy.
It's the best way
to get here. I flew at 7, was here by 11.
It was, best way to get here.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of being in the UK, because I am literally just a step below you.
It takes me less time to get here than it does to drive to my house in, like, my family home in Brighton in the same country. Wow. It took 2 hours less to get here.
Wow.
And that included, you know...
Flights.
Yeah, flights, transport, passport control, everything.
And then an hour and a half taxi to get here from my airport.
When I landed, there my luggage was already waiting for me.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the small airport.
I know.
Santiago de Compostela, she's my girl.
This isn't Heathrow.
Yeah, this is not Heathrow. It's like a tiny little modern airport. Everything just works.
And everyone had taken their bags.
It's so
fast. Like, it was my bags were like the last.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
That's the beauty of a depopulated region. There aren't lines for anything.
No, it's gorgeous.
It's just, there are people here, but it's not overpopulated.
Yeah.
But we don't need to get into antinatalism. No. We don't need to go
That's
there.
Another time.
That's another time. So, you know, the driver dumps you at the gate. You text me, I'm here. I schlep out in my slippers. I'm like, hi. And then what happens? You're shocked.
Well, it's more about, like, for me, I think coming from the UK, and it's this whole a belief of how, as a horse professional, we need to work and live. And I think for me, there was almost a sense of dread about, this is my dream, this is my passion, this is my interest, this is what I really want to do and build my life up around. And also, I'm almost ready to sacrifice myself to, like, never sit down, never have a coffee, always be on my feet, always be working. And it's like this contrast of...
Burnout,
but yeah,
overwork,
yeah,
toxic, rugged individualism.
Yeah.
Like... You've been exposed to many hardworking horse professionals.
Amazing,
that are very skilled and very hardworking, and they have a lifestyle that's not only demanding, it goes past being demanding, and it steps over that boundary of demanding and starts to become some form of, like, low-level, slow-motion self-harm.
It's hard. It's
Ask
so
me
hard.
How I know.
Yeah, and I think I was just so in awe of the people I saw around me. And also, I mean, you've met my wonderful brain. It's
Nigel Brain.
Neurospicy. And I think, anyway, it's the point I was making was, like, I came in and it was just, it almost matched the feeling of how I wanted to be to the horse. So it's like not coming in and it's like, put your stuff down. It was like, okay, settle in. Here's a cup of tea. Relax and, like, unwind.
So the lifestyle reflected.
Yes.
The energy of the farm and the way I live my life also reflects the way I work with the horses.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And very much how, and I think it's the system that we're in. Like, it's like amazing people trying to live in the system that we're in.
Yeah.
And it was a real, I think my energy when I arrived was like, look, it was so not ungrounded, so fizzy, so shaky, because I'd taken myself from my world and into this one. And I think that's what really stuck out for me, because I was like, whoa.
Contrast.
I'm trying to be a secure anchor and base for these, for my clients, for my horses. And like, that's what I believe in. And yet the space I was in is so not congruent with that at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then throughout the week, just kind of being in it and having those spaces to focus, to have creativity come to you, to play with the horses, everything I wanted to get done got done, and more, like the conversations that we were having, the space to explore different things, and it was so organic.
With the pace of the internship in terms of the learning, the study, the opportunity to shadow me in my work and ask me questions. Let's just ask a few really simple questions about it and try to give, like, a one or the other, like this or that answer.
Yeah.
Was the pace fast or slow? That's a little bit of a leading question. Don't judge that based upon how much we've done, because that's the next question.
Slow.
So the pace was slow. It was a slow pace.
Yeah, slow pace.
So we've worked at a slow pace.
Yeah.
Meaning that there's been plenty of time to sit down and just take a minute over a cup of coffee. Plenty of time to stretch out on the bed.
Have a siesta if you need
it. Have a siesta if you needed it. Plenty of time to get into a project for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours if that's what your brain needed to do. Plenty of time to go and spend with the horses. So there's been plenty of time. We've even been to the gym.
We've been to the gym,
like 4 days a week.
Yeah. And I think,
because I can take a guest to my gym.
That's so fun.
So I took you along. So we're going to the gym 4 days a week, and we're somehow managing to eat 3 squares a day.
Yeah.
And we were also getting minimum 8 hours of sleep every night. We are both night people, so we were going to bed later.
Yeah.
The day starts later.
Yeah.
But we ended it later. So in the end, like whether you're a morning person or a night person, you just do the same routine, shifted over. So it was a slow pace, and yet did we get a lot accomplished or nothing accomplished?
A lot. In many different ways, in like kind of processing, thinking, talking, creating, working. It was like, it was
multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's multidisciplinary study, what things have we worked on over the last 2 weeks together? Let's try and list them.
So we've worked on, there's so much. What was the first session we had together?
Let's not try and do it in chronological order, because we'll never get there.
Okay, I've ridden.
You've ridden.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what did we work on under riding?
We were working on lateral movements.
Lateral movements.
We were working on my position.
Your seat.
My seat.
Your balance.
My balance, my energy, communication.
Energy, communication, your intention.
Intention.
Consent.
Yep.
Hands.
Yep.
Leg.
Feet.
Breath. All of that.
Yeah, all of that. Also like tack, so like learning a new way of like riding.
Different types of tack.
Horse care. There's so much different types of horse care.
Because the interns here partake in the horse care. So we show you the routine and you help feed and do some mucking out and some basic, simple tasks on the farm each day. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And then our first few sessions with Sani was really about like conversation, consent, presence, choice,
listening.
And then watching sessions have been equally valuable with you.
So then there would be times when I would do sessions and you would
watch and take it all in.
You'd take it all in and you would ask great questions too.
Yeah.
And when you were watching, you know, the few interns here, not every time interns are able to sit and watch and take it in, but you really sat and you really watched and you really took it all in.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like making notes mentally, like physically, and a kind of verbal process at you. So I'm like, I was able to like have a question in my mind, voice it, and then you'd be like, yeah, no, or like maybe I'll do it like this way.
Or I go, what?
What? What? Because I realize when I speak in a processing way, it's doesn't
really... No, but then you would always refine and I go, answer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that was really cool. We did double lining.
Long lining. So there was groundwork. There's relationship-based groundwork.
Yeah. That was really cool. Learning yield away.
There was groundwork without the horses to refine your body language.
That was so interesting.
Use of space.
I was like, Lockie, I need like a human-to-human rope session. Where it's like you show, like reveal things into my technique, my position. And that was hilarious, but so informative because, it's like in a feeling, the feeling on the rope and you mirroring back what I was doing, what I wasn't doing.
Mm. Revealing tendencies, giving awareness to them so you can change them, offering you something, correcting what you've got.
And also like really being aware of the consequences of questioning everything. And I think that's something.
Damn, say that again.
The consequences of questioning everything.
So you were in a state of questioning everything that you did.
Everything.
To a fault.
Yeah.
And what was the fault of that?
it's you don't have anything
forward momentum.
You don't stand on anything.
You don't stand on anything.
Every step that you take, you're like, oh, was this the right one? Was this not the right one? And then the horse next to you is like, I don't know.
Make a decision.
Make a decision, babe.
Hold a shape.
Yeah.
Make an aid.
Yeah.
Follow through.
100%.
Yeah. And what do I do?
Yeah. Just.
I make a shape.
Hold it.
I hold it. I follow through.
You're sure of it.
Good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out.
And you observe. And it gives us permission as questioning horse people to have the same grace with ourselves. And
right.
Like, because it is a grace to just hold a shape and just notice.
Yeah.
Rather than questioning everything. So
when we, because there might be some people saying, hold a shape. What the hell
what
are they? What we mean is an aid to a horse is a shape.
Yeah.
Right. And instead of trying to change the shape to optimize it before the horse has understood it, just hold it. We're trying to change the shape because you're second guessing. Is that the right aid to use? Is that ethical? Is that right? And I think like a lot of the information I put out in the world is very questions forward. So I ask a lot of questions of myself, of my own work, of horse training, of the world. But my questions are always informed. And I think this is the bit that I maybe miss. It's a blind spot for me that I don't frequently enough say.
Yeah.
That the questionings that I have are based on actual data of experience.
Yeah.
Of actual attempts.
Yeah.
That I'll never question something I haven't tried.
Yeah.
100%. And that the next thing I'm about to try is actually informed by past attempts of what we've just been through.
Yeah.
So it's never an abstract, monolithic optimization process.
Yeah.
It's get in there, roll your sleeves up, try. And when I'm working with my horses in a way that I'm not trying to perform or demonstrate, I'm just going through what my trainings look like.
Yeah.
I'm moving pretty rapidly between different things. I'm going boom, 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 not rushing, because then when you need to slow down, there is stretchy, you slow. And then, okay, the next moment you have to keep going, constantly reading. Okay, does the horse need more time to think? The horse has had enough time to think. They need action now. So you proceed. And it's this constant, I never stop.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's where a blind spot has come for me.
Mm.
And I think I have been one of the voices on the interwebs that has potentially at times contributed towards a rhetoric that has encouraged a population of horse people. To over question things and not take action. So this year I very much realized my mistake and gone, whoa.
Yeah,
I question what I've done, not what I'm about to do. That's the difference. And you know, an internship's a great place to kind of see that.
Yeah.
What else have we managed to do?
Well, before that, I was just gonna say, like, there's phases, and I think it's like noodling and then kind of doing
figuring something out, trying, figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think we, because there's been such a transition, and I think that's a great thing. And I think now we're afraid of getting it wrong because we're like, we've seen what it looks like when it goes wrong and we're like, I don't want that. So then we're not anything. So it's giving ourselves permission to think deeply and also try.
Yeah. Because you go on the internet and if you put something up that's not a finished project, they come that, after
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 100%.
And if you put something up that's a finished project,
everyone comes
they
after
say
you.
They come after you. So we're all trying to please some angry people on Facebook.
Yeah.
And we forget that there's a horse in front of us that just needs really good, kind, clear, regular, consistent work.
Yeah.
Hmm. So there's that. Great. Let's ask a few more questions about like what we've done. So since you've been here, my horse got diagnosed with pyroplasmosis.
Yeah.
People can go back and listen to the episode about that journey. You were actually here.
Yeah, I was here.
For that entire diagnostic process.
Yeah.
And we actually had, you were the last person to sit on him.
Yeah.
Prior to the treatment. And so it was actually our sessions with him and what he said to us that were key for me to pick up the phone. And you remember that session?
I remember it so well.
Where you got on and I'm thinking, and you saw me watching.
Yeah.
I was watching my horse work with you.
Yeah.
And as soon as the session was over, without any panic, what did I do?
You called the vet.
I called the vet.
Immediately. Yeah.
Before
he'd even got him.
Before he'd even taken his tack off.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone.
On the phone. Really calm.
I was calm. Yeah. I was just watching you work with him and I was able to get distance and I was able to see he was trying and not able.
Yeah.
Willing, not able.
Really trying.
Willing, not able.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, no, this is confirming for me. Mm-hmm. And it was helpful to see someone else on him, which is another reason why I love having people here, because I'm able to get perspective on my own horses.
Yeah.
Because I'm so close to that horse. I don't know where my body ends if this begins. And you know what that looks like, right? Because you've 100%. Watched us together.
It's gorgeous.
And so that was really great. And then a couple of days later, we had booked him to come on Monday, but by Sunday,
yeah, he was lying down.
He was lying down all the time.
Sweating.
So I'm calling the phone again. And you were here for all of that.
Yeah.
And instead of that being like me trying to sweep my horse's illness under the rug because I've got a client present and how unprofessional, how shameful that I've got a sick horse, it became part of the internship.
Amazing.
So I taught you how to give intramuscular injections. And today you gave him his last doses of the medicine.
Yeah.
Because that's something you hadn't done.
Never.
Right?
No. And I think I felt like part of the journey and I felt like I was able to support and like just take in so much because it's something like this that you can, it's one of the things of being a guardian, if that's to like a child or like a human child, an animal child, it's like often a part of your journey. And it's one that you like, you're always kind of unprepared for until it happens.
Mm.
And being able, I've had one horse with an injury, but it was like a leg injury and I was young and I didn't manage it properly, but being able to be a part of that journey and watching you guys being like, it was amazing because
you saw the relationship come to life in a situation of illness where I had to do painful things to him every day.
And also like practicing what you preach, because it's like in the session that we had, it was gorgeous because Sani was so gracious and giving with what he could give.
Yes.
And then he was like, okay, I will work with you. Yes. This is a yes. Okay. And then he would say, but that's a no. This is a yes, but that's a no.
Yes.
And it was like working with that conversation constantly. And we were having a conversation of like finding the edge. And like, what is the edge? And
if you were afraid,
I was afraid of
to go to the edge to where the point where the horse would say no.
Yes.
And I was saying, but we have to find where the no lives.
Yeah.
Because by virtue of us finding that no, I picked up the phone and called the vet because I said, a no should not be living in that place with him right now.
Yeah.
It's not there.
And it was like, we'd had a really nice conversation. We'd come into the school and it was like a no. And it wasn't that I don't want to. It was not that feeling of a no. It was like
I can't
offer you that right now. And that I could really feel that. And you were like, okay,
because he wasn't sour.
No. He was warm,
present, warm,
gracious.
Just saying, I can't.
Yeah. And he was almost like, I know, it felt like a real, like he was just tapping on the shoulder and saying, no, I can't do this. This one, I physically would love to give it to you, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then that.
And then, as an instructor.
Yeah.
See, this is where the horse world becomes afraid of something they shouldn't be afraid of.
Yeah.
Because let's say you're my clinic host in the UK. So we've got this vested interest upcoming in the UK. A lot of instructors would say, oh, my clinic host is coming.
Yeah.
I want to impress them. Mm. They're going to be in my home. This is my heart horse. This is my, you know, showpiece, right?
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, but ill.
A lot of people will operate that way. They want to show results. Look what my horse can do. Look what my horse can do. You can feel that too. The
masses almost expect that.
And there could have been a situation or a dynamic where I could have made it happen so that you could feel what I feel with him when he's giving a lot to me. And I didn't do that.
No.
I was literally silent and stepped back. And very little guidance for you. Because by the time someone gets on my farm and in front of my horses, I have very little work to do because they are such good teachers.
They are.
They are such good teachers by virtue of the work. They're so self-possessed and self-assured that they're able to so safely move through everything. And so I was just able to observe where he was. It was really, really helpful.
Yeah. And then with his treatment, it was really like being a part of the family and like watching the real life struggles that we have when our horse is poorly and how empowering you were about your horse's health, about you were like, cool, or you've got the first aid kit there, you've got all of your medical supplies, you're set up. And
I was worried.
Yes.
But there was no panic.
Of course.
There was no panic.
No.
And I was a little tired at the end of the day, but it wasn't a catastrophe.
No.
I wasn't falling apart. I felt very...
You were able to be...
Responsible.
And with him, because like for him... Like for him, for you to give him those injections, it's like you were there together with him, supporting him.
And he looks at me like
And he
that.
Looks, before and after, he looks at you like, oh my God, Dad. Not once has there been a day where he's like, I'm not coming in. Maybe not a once. Few thoughts of like, oh, okay, Here I know what this is.
Yeah.
But he's been like, okay, cool, come in.
Yeah.
Had the treatment, had an apple, done his like little lip thing, his little like foot thing where he's like really proud of himself, his signature moves. And then he just goes out and he's like, okay, cool.
I'm so proud of him.
It's been
when
amazing.
He looks at me, he makes me weak at the knees.
You can see. It's so gorgeous. And I think I would never if that was my horse, it's hard to do something if you're not modeled that, to be empowered in the sense of what you can do in their health. It might not be being able to give them...
Saying to him, I know this hurts.
But like, I know this hurts, but we got this.
We got this.
And
just
you'll be okay.
Be still, you'll be fine.
Yeah. And not being afraid of that,
yeah.
of discomfort.
At all.
Because the relationship's there to like anchor you both.
More than 30 injections over an 8-day period.
Yep.
It was intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that. So you were here for all of that. So then suddenly you had all of this learning happening there.
So much
there.
Learning, yeah.
And then with just by virtue of feeding the horses, you had to be quite dynamic because the feeding is done in a slightly different way every day. Not chaotically, but
no,
just...
No, they're just in different places.
They're in different places because they live feelings. In freedom. They live a low regimented lifestyle. It's not a regimented lifestyle. It's predictable and consistent, but it's not regimented. So you have to be quite fluid.
Mm.
You are, I mean, it goes without saying, of course, I've had quite a few people handle my horses now over the years.
Mm.
You're extremely competent.
Thank you.
Sometimes I've had people feed the horses here and I just keep my eye out the window because you never know when, right? Oh, I've got to step in. Yeah.
That's really nice.
Peace in my mind. I'm like, she has so got this. You are so competent. And Caleb is, an advanced handling case. Ogie, we love him, but he's advanced handling around food.
Yeah.
Right? Because he likes his space and his time. Serenio is a good soldier. So
he's awesome.
You just point.
He does take a while, but
he takes forever.
He takes his time, as he should.
As he should. He likes his meal, but he just takes forever.
Yeah.
And so that was really good. And then... working with Serenio, we had a really interesting session around consent and around the mounting block.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Really interesting for me.
And that you worked through and I let you work through it.
Yeah.
We had that day, that same day with Sunny, actually. On that same day, we also worked with Serenio.
Yeah.
And earlier in the day, we halted him.
Yes.
And went to bring him in, remember? Because they were out on the grass.
Yeah.
They very seldom get on the grass. So we had them on the grass because I had a carpenter here doing a project. So I put them on the grass to keep Oki out of my carpenter's hair, basically.
He still managed to get in his
Oki
hair.
Oki got in the carpenter's hair.
I was
hair.
Laughing.
Oki did wear a new stable door as a necklace at one point anyway.
Yeah.
So I tried. But
I could just hear him going, vamos. Just Oki like, hello.
I said to him, I said, cuidado por mi potro, like you need to be careful over my cold because, anyway. So we had them on grass and Serenio was like, grass in the spring?
Hello.
In the middle of the day?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going in to train.
And that felt, having those two.
Felt so different because he was giving a hard no. Hard no.
Yeah.
Sunny was giving, are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because if it's really important to you, I'll come. Mm. And he came. And Serenio said, hard no.
Yeah.
He's less, let's say, generous than Sunny is, or at least Serenio's generosity shows up in a different place.
Yeah.
Because his generosity shows up later.
Yeah.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we tried to work with him earlier in the day. He said, hard no. We asked several times.
Yeah.
It was still a hard no. So what did we do?
He said, okay. And it was really interesting because I was like, in that moment, this is where the nuance for me was like, oh, because I was like, oh, maybe I just keep asking. Like I've asked three times and then you were like, okay, well, what's your idea? And he went, I want to go the other way. So then you were like, okay, buddy, like, cool, let's try and let's go the other way.
Yeah.
And you were trying to figure out what the problem was. Yeah. Like where it was.
Where
you were like,
was.
Is it because you're in pain? Like, is it the
you
feet?
You don't want to come.
Is it because it's a new person? Like what?
No, it's the grass.
No. And we walked the other way past the grass and he went, no, this is the grass. And we went, okay.
I said, I'm not going to fight with you.
No, we're not going to go there.
I'm not going to win on this.
No.
And I don't want to win on this.
I don't want to win on this.
Eat
so
the grass. It's fine.
Have a lovely day.
Have a lovely afternoon. Later that day,
yeah,
I called over my shoulders. We passed each other on the yard. I said, Serena, you might be open to working with you later in the day. That's typically when I work with him. He's so regimented.
Yeah.
I typically work with him later in
it
the day.
It wasn't the window.
It wasn't the window. So working with him earlier in the day is incongruous. He's not flexible that way.
No.
Still good that we tried it.
Yeah.
So he experiences different structures. Mm. So I said, oh, you know, go try again.
Yeah.
And you tried again and
he was like, cool.
He's like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, cool. And he was on the yard. He was like, right,
I've got a schedule.
I'm ready now.
Damn
and
it.
It's so funny for me because I went from like, oh, you know, let's explore the night. Like, what's wrong? And then he was almost like, I'm ready now. Like, stop faffing.
Stop faffing.
Come on.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Saddle on. Let's move.
And I was like,
let's move.
Because right. So I'm so used to either getting a no or trying to compromise or like then when it's a yes. My friend picked me up on this every time. She's like, Kat, there's a green light. Don't miss the green light. And I'm like, oh, but are they sure about the green light? And like, and then it just gets like a whole thing. So Serenia was like, this is my green light.
Yeah.
And I was like,
and with him, you cannot, I'm going to swear now.
Yeah.
You can't fuck around with him.
No.
He doesn't like it.
No.
He wants you just to be extremely confident.
Yes.
Right or wrong, be confident about it. And he's really challenged me on that. Mm. And that's what he likes. So... You know, we brought him in. You brought him to the mounting block.
Yeah.
And he kind of made you eat shit for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was great.
So explain what happened.
So if anyone, all my clients were literally dying right now because they know me. But for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm very like, let me breathe and we check in and we just make sure it's 100%.
And that's not his fault.
And he's there like,
are you all
what
right?
The hell?
Where are
what
you?
What are you doing?
Who are you?
Yeah. And so... Yeah, and so I was on the mountain block and I was like, okay, do you want to come
breathing and
up?
Checking in?
Breathing, checking in. It's okay for you. I know I'm a new person. And he was like...
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with
all
that.
No.
But he wants you to do that before you work with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, and once he's like, trust me, yes, bro.
That's
I've
it.
Given you a yes.
I'm here.
And
I'm literally in the arena dressed up.
Yeah.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
Yeah.
And it was like a real lesson for me. Of you were like, the more unsure you feel about his yes, the more unsure he feels about his yes.
Yes.
And so I'd kind of like line him up and then I'd go to my
he'd
foot.
He'd so gently just shift.
So gentle.
So gently and so accurately.
Just
move
back
the stirrup.
Out of my reach.
To the most awkward position within reach as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was still within reach, but... Way too awkward to get on safely. And
yeah.
He did this with this zen expression, like,
so
I'm breathing
zen.
And checking in and just no.
And no.
And no.
No.
And you started what a lot of people would have started with me, which was a line of questioning towards me about, is that a no? Should I stop? Should I, like, take the saddle off? Should I finish the training?
Yeah.
Does he not want to be here? Does he hate his training? Have I done it all wrong? And
you were like.
I was like,
no.
I was just sitting quietly.
Yeah.
I think I was like making
yeah,
out.
Yeah, just keep trying.
I think I was making out with Oki.
You were.
I was making out with Oki listening to Celine Dion. That's
yeah,
what I was
that,
doing.
That was the mood.
I was lip syncing to Celine Dion
yeah.
with Oki on my shoulder and you were working on a mounting block. Not because I was ignoring
yeah.
you. Believe me, I missed
nothing.
But yeah. The energy was like,
oh,
birds are singing, sun is setting,
yeah,
all is well. And my horse is teaching you a really,
really
important lesson. About coming confident to his body.
Yeah.
And I said, maybe he's checking to see how important this is for you.
That's exactly what you said. Mm. You were like, he's seeing if you really want this. And like,
you need to change how you feel to him.
You need to change how you feel. Because what I was doing.
Before he gets you on his body.
What I was doing is, I'm like stroking, really chill, really happy. Like, yeah, like scratching his neck, scratching behind the saddle. Really great. And the moment I went to get on, it was like a moment where my brain went like, okay, now's the moment. And something in my body shifted to like concentrate about putting my foot in. And I think something in my body changed. And instantly he went, oh, that feels different. You're now focusing on something else and not on me. You're not with me anymore.
You're somewhere else.
You're somewhere else.
You evaporate.
You've abandoned me a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's the closest thing.
Like, there's a pop culture reference I use in this situation when I'm teaching.
Yeah.
It's a nerdy one. Jurassic Park, my favorite movie.
Yeah.
There's a moment where Sam Neill says to the kid, don't move. His vision's based on movement. If you don't move, he can't see you.
Yeah.
So they freeze in front of this monster that's going to kill them, right? Yeah. And I feel like what happens in the physiology and the energetic emotional impact we have on horses, because we do, the same way like you walk into a room, you meet someone for the first time, they make an impact on you, an impression on you.
Yeah.
We give an impression to a horse when we're full of second guessing.
Yeah.
We give an impression of conflict.
Mm.
And my horses are not trained in conflict. Well, they were, but I don't train them by creating conflict with them. I don't have conflicts with my horses. If we disagree, we find a resolution.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight with them. I'm not internally conflicted when I'm with them. I don't use conflict or violence in any form, including violence upon myself. I don't come being violent to my own mind about my work. Whether I'm good, bad, or otherwise, I come clear. And that clarity then translates into a practical, mechanical, technical clarity that helps them. And so they're not used to it. And when people get in front of my horses with that conflict, all they do is so calmly and
so
safely,
calm,
so safe.
They're like, we're just letting you know.
So safe. You can't. People say, oh, consent is dangerous. I'm like, you need to come and see my horses and let people know how safe it is for a horse to just step up.
Yeah, he's just like, no.
And then when you change something in your resolve.
Yeah, all I did was I noticed, how am I feeling when I'm scratching his withers? Like, if I'm just there. And I think the thing is, and I think normally when we go to get on a horse, what are we conditioned? We're conditioned because when you're, and I'm not blaming this on previous training, I'm just saying that it's a fact that a lot of horse training is getting on horses that are not regulated, that are not balanced, that are not allowed to say no. So naturally, everyone says the most dangerous thing is when you put your foot in the stirrup, and that's the condition that you have.
So everyone gets
weird,
freaks out. Everyone gets weird to the horse,
even if they're then like noodled and like in a new place and want to be calm, want to be like quiet. There's still something in our bones which is like, there's something's changing, and my body remembered that, and so I was like, oh, and a few of my clients have said that to me as well, like, wow. I didn't realize this was still in me.
Yeah.
When I'm now going onto my new horse and they're reflecting it back on me as this change, this physiological change. So I was stroking him and I was like, how do I feel in my body when I'm stroking him? And it was like, oh, really cool, really like congruent, relaxed. Like there was no
conflict.
Yeah, there was no conflict. It was just breezy.
Happy to be here.
And then I was like, and I just continued scratching him, put my foot in, and up we go. And I was
He let you do it.
Yeah. He was like, oh.
And it wasn't you suddenly getting on when he wasn't paying attention.
No.
He was paying so close attention to you.
Yeah.
He wasn't distracted for a second. He wasn't looking to the left. He wasn't looking to the right. He had his ears on you, fixed on you for 20 minutes, waiting for you to feel right to him.
Yeah.
And then by the time you were there, his feet stayed where they were as you got on.
Yeah.
And then he waited for your instruction.
100%. And it was a different feeling. I was so great that day because we had so many different feelings of no's, with the hard no, which was the grass.
Yeah,
no,
this on the is same day.
I don't want to do it. I won't do it.
Not right now.
Then we had the sunny no, which was like, I want to, but I can't.
You want to, but I can't.
Different. And then the second Serenio like, no, which is it's almost like I'm here, but you're
not.
You're not. So it could be a yes.
Get here.
you need to get here for it to be a yes.
Reach the point.
Whereas with the grass, it was no matter what you do, no matter shape you have, no matter what you say,
it's not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's really helpful because it's...
We talk about this.
We talk about this.
I write about it on Facebook and people say, that sounds nice. What the hell does that look like? You were able to live it with me.
In one day.
In one day.
Like the second day. Right. The first day, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was really... That was fun. That was fun. And, you know, you had a good ride. In fact, by the end of the ride, I had to actually stop you because he was like, I'm charging off. I was like, whoa, something else is happening here. So we had an energetic expenditure problem. He was giving you too much towards the end. And then I felt your rain contact and I'm like, whoa, you just keep on taking.
What is that?
You just keep taking, even when a release still has a taking quality
because
to it.
Because it's in my body.
It's in your body.
And that's something as well that is really, when you start to do things a different way, it's your body needs to catch up a lot. And like for me, most of my first pony who I really discovered this with was not really ridden. He was a baby and then he had an injury. So most of my reconditioning was on the ground. And then I used to work with either to start horses, like very early in there, when I went to Ghana, they were raw. Like there was nothing that had been done with them really. Mm-hmm. Or I'd help clients in their early stages. So again, on the ground. So like my memories in my body, I've had a little bit of ridden reconditioning, but not to the level that counteracts the first level of conditioning.
Got it.
In my hands, in my legs, in my body. And even though
deeper work.
Yes.
Deeper work. And that's
not shying away from it.
Not shying away. And it's not like random, profound or abstract. The deep work is actually fundamentally practical.
Yeah, practicing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've done really well.
Yeah, thank you.
I've said to you on the first day, I said, well, I was showing you the ropes. I was like, you're going to get as much out of this internship as you put in. And you had such a base of competency that you were able to put a lot in and get a lot back from it. I'd describe you as warm competent. Remember what I was telling you about that?
Yes.
There's cold end comp. Like when it comes to professionals, there's like four different categories, I think. Cold, incompetent, warm, incompetent, cold, competent, or warm, competent. You're warm, competent.
Mm.
And that base enabled you to put quite a lot in and get a lot out. You're able to watch me work with Oki yesterday, giving him like fundamental boundaries, learning the ropes. And we even had a session or two with Caleb. We also did some trimming.
Yes.
There was some hoof care there.
Hoof care. You were teaching me, I mean, we've mentioned it, but you like actually got the end of a pool noodle and we practiced some injections.
Yeah, I cut off a pool noodle and we were in my kitchen practicing intramuscular injections.
Yeah, with the water.
Because when you come for an internship, do I put you on somewhere else or where are you living when you're
I'm here. I'm like just downstairs.
You're underneath my bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you can hear me cough.
Yeah.
And like you can hear me knocking my Stanley cup off and now my nightstand at 3 a.m.
And I have all the animals in my bed,
so all my house animals,
I love it.
So three cats, two dogs,
yep,
climb in the bed.
I'm so sad that I'm not gonna have my hot water bottles.
So let's describe both that part of the internship for people who are interested. There's a guest room. Is the bed comfortable?
It's beautiful,
comfortable bed.
It's big, it's comfy, it's airy.
You know what I call that?
What?
Gay hospitality.
Hells yeah, I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. There's been like a few moments where I'm like, oh my god, Loki, this is so, and you're like, honey, it's cool being gay.
It's cool being gay and having hospitality jobs.
Even your pizza, like I was like,
I'll just throw it together. Like, pizza.
I'm so tired. Ugh, I'm just gonna make a pizza. And it was like presented on like wooden board with like, it was just symmetrical. It was like herbs, like melted cheese, like it was
fresh browned. And crushed pepper.
Oh yeah, you got me to crush the pepper. And I was like,
yeah,
what it's ridiculous.
It's so obnoxious.
So here for
but it's called like living it, like learning to enjoy your life.
Yeah,
I'm determined.
Yeah, you could really feel
to actually be working equine professional, getting a lot done. And listen, do I work hard?
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, 100%.
Like I'm locked in.
Oh, and we also haven't talked about being able to listen to the lessons.
Well, that too. So, you know, you get gay hospitality, you get a really good bed. It's a memory foam
mattress. The shower is gorgeous.
You get a big, like, ensuite with a lovely shower. I replaced the shower head while you were here.
I know, it was a lovely surprise.
The water pressure got improved while you were here. So suddenly you show up and it's like in your face. Whoa. The hot water is good now. I had the hot water replaced.
Yeah. It's a washing machine.
Washing machine. I cook for you.
Oh my God, the most delicious meals.
So food is good.
I'm going to mourn. When I come home, I swear to God.
We also had crazy weather. So there was one day that was 28 degrees Celsius and I'm outside on the patio.
Sunning
with my shirt off. And then we had days where I lit the fire and we're like cozy.
Yeah.
Welcome to April in Galicia.
Listening to Celine Dion again. Yeah. Or,
so music's playing all day.
Yeah.
And it's just, I want people to experience how I actually live and what I actually do.
And it's self-love, I think. I think it's so easy when we're in life every day and we're either like, you know, whatever kind of job you have, especially if it's blue collar, kind of, you know, when I started teaching, I was like, how does anyone have a space to like...
I work 15, 16 hour days.
And it's like...
So I'm considered blue collar.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's that like distinction of, I think as horse people as well, we're so focused on providing things for our horses, which is amazing, but we get home and we forget it's what takes 5 seconds to ask Alexa to play some music or to put on a nice soundtrack or spray the room with like essential oils that smell nice or... Like,
have a good shower and take care of yourself. Watch something that helps you tune up. Nice, whatever you can afford, you know, try to eat good food.
Yeah.
Try to get good sleep.
Good coffee.
Try to take care of yourself because if we're in it for the long haul, you know, you got to put the gas mask on yourself first. Yeah. It's not about living in luxury, though I live well now.
Yeah.
And those who've been with me for a long period of time, they will know I've not always lived like this. I mean, not so long ago, I was living in converted stables with roofs that leaked.
Yeah.
And it's been, my 20s are really tough. Yeah, I was living in poverty and, you know, it's not that I'm crazy wealthy because I'm not, because I live in a rural, depopulated region that's incredibly affordable to live. So, all money goes far here.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not about money. It's about making the decision to take care of yourself.
Intentional.
That's important. And I want people who come and study with me to actually feel that. You know, when I make you the smoothies each day, when we have smoothie time, what I'm actually doing is putting the same supplements in the smoothies that I put in. People ask me all the time, Lockie, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, live with me for 2 weeks and you will learn.
Yeah.
Babe, it's 8-9 hours of sleep.
Which Lord knows I was not getting.
At the moment, no alcohol. At the moment, no alcohol. It's like high-powered smoothies with really good nutrition and like supplements that help your brain function.
Yeah.
And it's taking good care of yourself in a low-stress lifestyle. That's how I'm able to work at maximum capacity.
That's also what we want to create for our horses.
Well, you said it. Say that. Say that bit. Right? Say that bit over and over again.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think it's really nice as well, because I think for me, there's so much stress now, which has all come from a good place, I believe.
I'm allergic to that stress, though. But it's
the stress. And I know that like me and my clients have been through it as well. We've had conversations about
burnout regulation,
but it's about like what we are told to then counter burnout, which obviously can be great if it works for you, but the pressure that we feel, especially with women, because we're like, oh, you need to do this in order
to
be enough,
yeah,
we then almost, oh, okay, right, I remember one point I was like, I'm gonna be regulated, and I used to wake up, have a, like, I love my cold dips, don't get me wrong, like first thing in the morning, cold dip, then I do my Wim Hof, then I do my journaling, then I'd go for a run, and then like or whatever it was, and the stress of remembering to do all those things and feeling like an awful person if I didn't. Yeah. Actually, like,
made it worse.
What's the environment? Like, that's going to make a bigger impact.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying journaling won't help because it's awesome, but it's
like a clean home, for example.
Clean home.
I keep a clean home because I go nuts when it's messy.
Or like what works for you and what helps you.
That's right.
Feel yourself in this crazy world.
That's right.
Like for me, it's comedy podcasts. I adore them.
That's right.
and like having time where I'm not learning or like, yeah, mooching around or doing something random. It's,
and we've had time to do that.
We have.
We've had long conversations at my kitchen island where we're just shooting the shit about all sorts of things.
Yeah. And that's been a really beautiful part, I think, because it's online is really, it can be really toxic. And actually being in person, there's like, this is how we're meant to be. We're meant to like take in someone and have a chat and share and like be heard and like feel together. And I think that's been the most beautiful part of this week, definitely.
Yeah. And we've also really gotten along.
Yeah.
We're going to be mates. You understand this?
Mates. Yeah. BFFs.
We're going to be mates now.
Yeah.
And that tends to happen a lot with the internships now, which is good because it didn't always happen. But now that I'm living in a way that's in alignment with who I am, the right people are coming. Yeah. That's so cool. You've also been watching my lessons, my teaching schedule.
Yes.
Not all the lessons. It's been, at the moment, I'm doing about, this week I'm doing 30 lessons.
Yeah.
Last week I did about 20.
Yeah.
Your first week here, I did again 20, 25 lessons.
Mm.
And I put my schedule up on the fridge and you can come into my office and watch any of the sessions I'm doing with my clients who are all over the world at any time.
Yeah.
And I can also take you into the back end of my business and show you how the website works, how the courses work.
Lord knows we've had a website upgrade.
Well, yeah. And how I create the content and the teaching materials and how that all comes, like how the sausage is made.
Basically,
right?
Yeah. Which has been amazing.
And like filming stuff. So you've been able to see all of that and sit in and listen on the lessons. What sort of things have you learned?
The amount of notes I've taken, but it's more like processing notes. It's been amazing because I think it's in this industry, it's so tough to feel like you are on the same team as other professionals.
Mm.
And it's like we are all fighting for the same cause. We are all working for the same cause. And especially in this kind of field. And I think for me, I mean, just so grateful for everyone who was welcoming of me in their sessions. Firstly, it's been so lovely to kind of have a sense of people in your circle and in your world and like how amazing they are and their horses. They're just things like from questions to ask clients that help you support them, like how to, like things
because
to
you're
understand.
Thinking as a teacher, right?
As a teacher, 100%.
Not just as a private practitioner, but as a teacher. So you're looking at it from both aspects.
Both aspects and like, and a things, way to put things to observe. And also just the feeling of a lesson. Like it's short. Like it's, some of my sessions were like 2 hours and I'm looking at this and going, oh my God, this feels so much more empowering.
It's a 30 minute session.
It's really.
But these are long-term clients.
Yeah,
it's a 30 minute session. So they're already on board. We've already done like the lot of the with these long-term clients. Some of them are with me 6 months. Some of them have been with me for 7 years. So we can have 30-minute sessions and I can say two or three things and it invokes, you know, 7 years of work with each other, right?
Yeah.
It takes a while to get to that point, but that's the point I'm in.
Yeah. And like things to play with, things to think about. I think I was kind of observing mostly as like as a practice, like a professional as well, so that I can serve my clients better. And yeah, that's been really, really, really helpful for me.
And you watch people have writing lessons, working through technical issues, groundwork lessons, coaching calls, group
calls.
And
they've been positive. They've been like real, really cool conversations, people making big changes, little changes.
Tough moments. We had a death. One of my clients' horses died while you were here.
So it's been a really, I felt like I can't even verbally, if I try and verbally say anymore, it would just be like a whole jumble because when I'm there and I'm listening, it's almost like my brain is just a sponge, like taking it all in so that then I can be it and embody it.
But what you've got that is remarkable is your ability to take it in.
Yeah.
A lot of people here in this same situation would go, they'd be faced with like, Hurricane Lockie, and after 10 minutes they're going, Well, I mean, I had a client here last summer and she watched a 30-minute session with me and Laura,
yeah,
who was here last summer with the horses out in the field. She watched it. It was 30 minutes. And after that, she said, I think I've just seen enough to work on for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
But what you've got is wide open sluice gates.
Yeah.
To intake enormous volumes of information and actually begin to synthesize it.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen over the next few weeks as you look through your notes and sit with what you've experienced is you're going to start to land on a lot of these things. They're going to start to solidify underneath you and to ground underneath.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fierce.
It's going to be so fierce.
They're going to start landing for you and you're going to circle back and have questions, but the questions are going to be like, little to the left, little to the right, looking up, yeah, little to the right. And you're like, got it. Moving on. It won't be like, well, should I, can I maybe, is it right if
is
I...
Is it, what no. is this, what color is this?
No, because that's not how we operate here. I wouldn't even entertain you going down the insecure route.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's no time.
No.
We're behind.
Yeah, we got to catch up. The horses are waiting.
Horses are waiting. 5,000 years I've been with horses and we've still got kick pull everywhere. We've got work to do, baby. We've got to... Right. And so you're going to start landing on some of these things and you're going to pick up the notes and review them in days from now, weeks from now, and they're going to start landing. So you've got an amazing capacity.
Thank you.
To intake information and synthesize it. And that's why I'm not worried about your future professional course, because you're going to be just fine. If you're able to do that, then you're going to be just fine. And it's going to be one of the gifts that's going to be something people come to you for, is your ability to have such good capacities.
Yeah, I just find life fascinating.
Yeah,
like I do, and I just like, how did we get here, why are we here, like, and I think that's sometimes my detriment, because like when I come here and I'm like, I've got so many thoughts of so many things, but then actually when and it's like these internships where you can just come and absorb and like put all the little strings together, tie things up, and like you were saying, like shape it, so then you can go out and do
something with it.
Yeah, do it and practice it and be empowered within it rather than disempowered, which is really, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. And we've also worked on your website.
Hells yeah. Because
I brought out my sketch pad where
that
I brainstorm my courses on.
Yeah.
And I showed you a few scribbles and I said, that was Homecoming 3.
And I'm like, what?
Fuck off.
But I love it because there's so much trust. And like, it's almost trusting the knowledge that you have too. Like questioning it, but also when you feel it, like trusting it. And I think I was almost at a place where I'd have to overthink. And I was like, oh my God, but this is too simple. This is too simple. And then you get in a whole spiral. But seeing your notes and you're like, yeah, this is a 12-week course. And it felt full and whole and I could work from this.
And you did that course.
And I did that course and I loved it. And right. I've still got to read, like, to take in more from it. And it was so game-changing. And I think for me, and it's like all of the lessons this week has been, like, trust
yourself,
yourself, your shape, like trust it.
Yeah.
Because if you spend your life going, but this is too simple, but this is too complicated, it's like, come on.
Where does that take us?
It just takes us more into the spiral.
Yeah.
So my website has been like Hail Mary because it represented, it's like how you do one part of your life is kind of how you do everything. And my website was like, I made my website when I first had my business. And as I've grown and learned, I've almost picked it up, noodled it, and then never finished it. So each page was like a story of that. And I kind of get the wording, but then kind of not. And then kind of over explain myself and come back. And it was, I've been trying to work on my website for no joke, like 4 years, and almost putting it down more frustrated than I picked it up.
Mm.
And you sat me down, day 2.
Day 2.
And you're like, right, who are you?
I think I literally asked you that question.
Literally asked me, who are you? What do you do?
And when you waffled, I went, no.
No.
Who are you?
Who are you? And I was like, maybe I'm not. Yeah.
And then when you said something that landed, I'd write it down on the paper. And then we brainstormed it from there.
And you were like, okay. And then it was a week in. And you were like, Oh my God.
A week in, a win.
That's what you've been saying. Like, yeah, that's who you are.
And I said to you, like, we've planned a clinic together.
Yeah.
You've done my courses.
We've worked together
you've
for a week.
Been in my house for a week.
Eating your food, playing
my
horses.
Food, eating my salmon.
Yep.
And now.
Best salmon, by the way.
You're welcome. And only now
you're like, oh.
I understand what you do.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people feel that way about me, by the way. A lot of people feel that way about me, by the way, and I own that. So
yeah.
This whole process, I actually teach you through what my mistakes were, not like I'm perfect, this is what you should do, right? That's really important we say that because people are going to think, oh, he's self-aggrandizing.
Right, you listen.
Really not. I say, this is where I went
wrong. Who are you?
This is the mistakes I've made and I learned this from it. And it doesn't make me afraid to try something and make a mistake again. In fact, I'm excited to make my next mistake. Because that's when my next breakthrough is going to come down. Not a breakdown, a breakthrough from mistake.
Yeah.
You see? And so sort of leading that way has been really helpful for me because I learn just as much every time I teach or help or support. And I love to help and I love to support and I love to share. That's who I am. It's like a core value to me is sharing. And, you know, opening and trusting, if the trust is really two-sided, and it has been. I had a conversation once upon a time with a potential clinic host. And they said, oh, well, you know, as an outcome of the clinic, I'm not interested in galvanizing my business practices. I said, okay, well, you might not be interested in galvanizing your business, but I have to say that one of the purposes of the clinics and of my work, if I can do it, is to help other people that I align with to galvanize their businesses.
Because
I think there's this notion of it's kind of ick to do so.
Yeah.
Especially amongst people who are trying to progress an ethical storyline somewhere.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, people who are jumping infant horses over hedges and breaking their backs have very galvanized businesses.
Yeah.
That's why they're able to do that without being questioned.
100%.
Because they stand at the tip of the iceberg of millions and millions and millions of insert currency here in infrastructure, real estate,
support,
community.
Yeah.
That's why they can do what they do to horses, because they literally have spent decades galvanizing their businesses.
And they're fiercely protective of each other as well.
Fiercely protective. Of hard power that they have created through financial success and acquiring of more. And we look at that and want to disidentify, not just with breaking the backs of babies when you throw them over fences.
Yeah.
We want to disidentify with those practices.
And then we almost throw
and the baby out of the bath.
Yeah.
We disidentify with the hard power that put them in that position. But what if people like you held hard power through galvanized business? And then you wielded that to do good in the world with horses. That's not idealistic. That's literally the blueprint. So I'm sick and tired of horse people wearing disorganized business practices as a badge of bloody honor or a sign of trust. I'm tired of it. And when you're sitting in my house eating my salmon, I'm going to open up my good paper and I'm going to brainstorm it. And you sat there and every time I came downstairs, you're working on that damn website again.
Yeah.
You know? You spent the last 2 weeks not only doing
pretty much like
we've done,
all day.
Are we manic? Because we've done a lot. We've done a lot the last 2 weeks.
But it's felt really chill.
Stretchy and chill.
So not once have I gone, I need to be here. I need to do this.
No,
it's been
like
flowy.
Because my whole lifestyle is set up around this. I literally have no other distractions. That's the other part we're not saying is like, I don't have like other distractions right now, especially when I've got guests in the house. And how dare you? No distractions when there are guests in the house. But I don't know, like kids or something distracting me. A lot of trainers do. So, you know, I'm not saying this is necessarily something everyone could replicate, but.
But it's what can you do with what you have?
Right.
It's like, you know, what can you do? Like, rather than focusing what can't you do, what can you do?
Mm.
And moving from there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. I think it's really important. And I think that's why when you are creating, especially if it's an evolution for yourself, because it becomes quite personal, like obviously with our businesses, and it's like a personal evolution as well as a business evolution. And we have such a heart connection with what we do that then all of a sudden the notion of making it like successful, it's almost like, oh, but this is like a soul journey. And then we're missing the fucking point, excuse my language.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, okay, and how can we support people who don't have a voice, who are in yards where they feel alone, that want like-minded people, and how are we resourcing ourselves to then get out of our own cycles way,
so that we can lead,
so that we can help people and empower and connect.
Right, because otherwise we literally abandon people to the wolves.
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think that was a really empowering conversation that we had about your view of business and like shifting that mindset of like, we're in the system.
This is the capitalist system. I can't change it.
We cannot change it
right now.
But how can we understand that, wield it,
and then destroy it from the inside out?
Yeah. How can we play them at their own game?
Yeah.
And, you know, make horses feel safer, make people feel heard, empower them with the tools, resources, and like
through quality, galvanized business practices that work.
Yeah. Because Lord knows, there's so many that aren't, like, you know, there's, like you were saying,
how much talent,
yeah,
in, let's say, the horse first approach,
yeah,
have we lost because they can't launch something, they can't reach people, they don't know how, they
don't feel sure of something,
or feel sure of something, or they don't have the support or the tools or the desire,
yeah,
to put themselves out there. And that's fine. If people choose that, that's not my place in life to put myself out there, because God knows I wish I didn't have to.
But I never studied horses because I didn't believe I could be a horseman. Like, wow. I literally studied psychology, human psychology. I took that route and I don't regret it because it led me here. But it wasn't until my best friend and mentor, Tracy, when you want to start a business, like coaching people, do it.
Right.
And I was like, no, but I can't. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not the kind of person that works with horses. And
you are.
And I'm remembering that now. And like, people like me who are sat there with like a vision, with talent, with a feel and a heart connection to their message and want to help, but don't feel like they're the kind of person to do that.
It's
like,
who is? Yeah.
And why have we been taught that?
Yeah. Self-empowerment and just claiming it.
It wasn't until COVID where I was like, well, if I earn a pound doing something with horses, I earn one pound than I did before.
Better off.
Yeah. So, you know?
Yeah. My mum always said to me, you need one client to have a business.
Yeah.
And you take care of them. Once you've got one client, you're in business. And it's important. It's important that we destigmatize business practices, organized business practices, not as something that's predatory, but as something that is essential to the betterment of practices to horses.
Yeah, 100%.
In my view. Well, who do you think, this is maybe a tricky question because it might cause us to outline people in the negative, but who do you think this sort of internship experience is best suited for? Because this experience is certainly not for everyone.
Mm.
And I can't do it for everyone.
No.
And I can't do it at scale. I can only have maximum 2 or 3 people at a time.
Yeah.
And in the last year, I've had like six come through, and that's felt like a really nice number because then I get stretchy time in the house by myself where I can walk naked to my bathroom and no one bothers me, and I can play the music really, 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 really loud.
Really loud.
You know, not so loud that my neighbors are bothered, but.
I mean, you've got to play it pretty loud for the neighbors to be bothered.
When I opened the sunroof, like the skylights.
Yeah.
It lets the sound out across the roof and it bounces into my neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
So I think every now and then she's heard, I don't know, some obscure band from the 2008 blasting in her driveway. So what's he got?
Okay.
Through? Yeah. Anyway.
Tony to go and ask him if he's okay.
She knows everything that's happening on this farm.
Yeah, she doesn't miss a beat.
She doesn't miss a beat, old Josepha. She doesn't. But who do you think this experience would be best suited to?
I think this experience is really suited to people who are in a process and who, so just coming from myself, that's all I can speak to. It's like, I've got, it's a space to not have the noise of life around you. Because for me, it was like, life is so busy and just trying to keep on top of things and like to earn enough money, like all these things, seeing people, it's busy and you need a space to interrupt, reset, focus on what's important to you, have clarity, where like space and time where you can think, you can ask questions, you have the capacity to process those questions. If it's like about the horses, if it's about you, if it's about your process, your horsemanship, business. But someone who is ready for that space to not just completely switch off, but to switch off enough in the right way so that the things that are underneath can come forward and come up and be answered. And so, yeah, like the people who feel like a little bowl of spaghetti, I've mentioned noodles and spaghetti a lot for someone who's gluten intolerant. This sometimes is how it feels. And I think, you know, it, someone like that who, yeah, needs that time, that space, who deserves that time and space for them, and who is ready to put things in place, no matter what area that is for them. For me, it was kind of a bit of everything. And I know that we've even, you know, talking about coming back into my life and like, it's not just switching it off now. It's like reintegrating.
Yeah.
And like thinking about what I've learned about myself, about who I want to be, my business, my practices, everything, from what I want to eat, my rhythms, how I want to sleep, what's important to me, really. And like even thinking about going home and having conversations with people of like, this is what I've learned. This is what's important for me. And like, this is how I want to go forward. So like, it's not about disappearing. It's about really figuring out a new layer for you. Does that make sense?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I've loved it.
Yeah. Thank you. You've been fantastic to have around.
Oh, well, I'm glad because I'll be back.
Yeah. Come back. You're welcome. You're welcome to come back.
Like, how was your flight? And I was like,
cancelled.
I'm walking back.
Cancelled. They're all cancelled. Oh. Well, we're going to have to, I don't know, lock you in the barn or something.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And just keep you around.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, I'll definitely be. I'd love to do this as well as a space. Like, yeah, I just would love to do this every year. That'd be amazing. It'd be so, so, so fun. So cool. Oh. And I'm really excited for the clinic.
Clinic around the corner. Yeah. Where is the clinic and when is the clinic, Kat?
So the clinic is at wonderful Naturally Light Equitation.
In
Northampton.
Northamptonshire.
It's near Daventry. For those of you who kind of know the area, it's quite near Daventry. It's a beautiful place. I've been there, lived 5 minutes away, worked there for a long, long time.
You know them really well.
I know them really well. Shane and Andy. They're awesome. And it's
gay
in July.
Couple, that's important. Oh, queer owned business.
We love them.
We love that.
They're amazing.
Important.
They even did a yard musical for anyone who's interested.
Perfect.
And it's in July this year.
Yeah.
And the first clinic starts on the 18th to the 19th. Mm-hmm. And then the second clinic is on the 20th to the 21st.
So two back-to-back introduction
clinics. Introduction clinics.
People can come to both clinics if they want.
Yep.
Second clinic is going to replicate many ways, not always, many ways the first one.
Yeah.
So for some people that might be helpful actually to really come back and do it again. But you can come to one or the other. It's you know.
And am I right in saying the second one, they book the first day and the second day is
For people who want to come to and audit both clinics,
yes.
The last day is free.
Yeah.
So you get like 25% off in your audit.
Yeah.
If you come on the last day. It's not a cheap clinic, but it's not cheap for me to get there.
But it's also, you invest in, I think there's a real relationship in the amount of like finance, time. And I'd say that with this as well. Like if you, like, you know, if you invest, you open yourself up to receive more and you're invested, like your energy's invested, your attention's invested, and you get so much out of it, you know, and it's going to be awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. And I think, so it's auditor, yep. Auditor Plus.
Right.
And then participants.
Yes. Participants, people who come with a horse.
Yeah.
I think, do we have spots left? I don't know.
On the second clinic, I think there's a few.
Yeah.
But the first clinic's pretty booked up.
I think the first clinic's full. That's why we're doing a second clinic.
Yeah.
And I think there might be a couple of spots to participate.
Yes, on the first one.
On the second.
Oh, the second, yeah.
Second clinic. Basic auditor, you just come and watch. There'll be tea, coffee, refreshments. And then auditor plus tickets are really helpful because I will give you access to the pre-clinic online course if you buy that ticket. It's the same online course that the participants with horses get. Mm-hmm. It's like a horse nerd ticket. That's the ticket I would buy.
Yeah.
And that extra payment goes a long way to getting the event off the ground.
Yeah.
These are not cheap experiences to do properly and to handle properly. So we've got to get it off the ground, and that those who can, it helps get the whole thing off the ground and in the air.
Yeah.
So I appreciate anyone who's thinking to come. And
thank you.
I think we did it, Kat.
Bossed it.
Let's go make dinner.
Yeah, let's do it. The
last
meal
for now. Thanks, Kat.
Thank
that was
you.
Great. That was great.
If you would like to support this podcast, a simple way to do that is by leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon. It will help more people to find these conversations, and it would mean a lot to me. Horse First with Lockie Phillips is distributed by the Believe Audio and Video Network. And just a gentle reminder, the content of this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and are not a substitute for professional, veterinary, or medical advice. I'm Lockie Phillips. Thank you for being here.